Hi there, this is James Swanick, and you're listening to the Swanick Podcast. James Swanick here. Today we're talking about your finances. We're talking about wealth creation. We're talking about how to get better with your money. And we have brought in an expert on all things money and wealth creation by the name of Caleb Williams. Caleb, thanks for being here, mate. Great to have you here.
Man, I'm so pumped to be here. Thanks for having me on.
You know a bit about money. You know about a bit about wealth creation, right? You're the founder and CEO of Better Wealth, which shows people how to have efficiency and control over their money today. I think you're in 46 states now with Better Wealth. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah.
Yeah, amazing. Tell us a little bit about that. You're the founder and CEO. So just tell us a little bit about Better Wealth and your background and knowledge in terms of all things finance.
Yeah, usually the first question, I'll get it out of the way right away, is how in the world are you able to teach me anything about money when you look like you're 14 years old? Like, that's what everyone's thinking if they're watching this right now. And really, I got started at a super young age. Worked at a bank when I was 17, ended up taking over the bank's investment department at 19 years old. And at that time, I'm a big Simon Sinek fan. I'm a big mission person. I realized that if you take a step back, the reason why people are hurting is they're thinking about money the wrong way. They're number one, you are your number one asset. A lot of people don't think about themselves being the most important asset in their life. And in fact, you don't even show up on a financial balance sheet. So we're focused on all the wrong things. And I'm realizing that people are devaluing themselves in the way that they think about their time, their health, their energy, their passion, their money. And so at 19, I just knew that something was wrong and people are working so hard and having so little. And so I went out on a journey and just asked people, like begged people. I think people felt sorry for me because they're like, oh, you like, I need to help this kid. And so I just learned some non-typical ways to better control money, to better think about money, to think about money in the form of efficiency. Mm-hmm. And I'm a big fan of ROR. It doesn't stand for rate of return. It stands for return on result. Reverse engineer everything else to get the results that you want. And so that kind of led, I had an epiphany that most people are either being told to save for the future or have control in the present. Like there's that trade-off, now or future. Yeah. And as an entrepreneur, you're like, I know this thing called compound interest, but I want to invest in myself and I don't know. And I realized that the people that really know what's going on don't have to choose anymore. So that's what I wrote my book on. That's kind of the thesis of like, use money as a tool to live more powerfully today and in the future. So I became one of the youngest people to take over a bank's investment department and then became one of the youngest people to actually leave at 21 years old, started Better Wealth. And we've taken this thing called Google, virtual space. And we're like, we can educate, help implement, help coach people in a powerful way. And as you can imagine, people were like, this is super foolish of you to do this. And you don't have any gray hair, you don't have a suit, whatever. And I'm just so grateful that we stuck with it. We stay consistent. And now that's where we're at. Better Wealth is a financial service company that helps people take back control of their wealth so that they can live more intentionally now and in the future.
Yeah, nice. And what are some of the most common mistakes that you see people make with their wealth creation and their finance? And then we'll get into some solutions for those.
Yeah. The number one mistake people make is they don't think with the end in mind. So I said something about ROR being return on result. A lot of times they'll literally type that into Google and then they'll have Google tell them this is what you should do. And what's crazy to me is like what we need to be avid about is we need to get clear on where we want to go. And it's just like Alice in Wonderland. She's at the fork in the road. The cat asks her where she wants to go. And she's like, I don't know. And the cat says something super profound. It says, if you don't know where you want to go, any road will get you there. Is it not true that most people are wandering through life, not having a direction of where they want to go? And so with that, that's the number one mistake people make. They don't have clarity. And then the number two mistake is people are focused way too much on retirement being this passive hope strategy and less about like how money can be used as an asset today. And then the number third mistake is they're not thinking about themselves as their greatest asset. And it's super clear in the way that they show up and how they think and make decisions.
So if we break that down, people aren't clear on where they want to go. So if someone asks, well, like, what are your financial goals are? I would assume most people would just say, I'll make as much as possible, right? So why is that a poor answer?
Because it's not specific. And one of the questions that we ask is, if money wasn't an issue at all, James, what would you do? And as you start getting, you start taking a step back and you're like, man, there's more to life than just money. See, we hide behind money and retirement and account balances. And it's like, you know, if money wasn't an issue at all, what would you do? Another question to ask, and this is, you can ask this in any industry. It's like, how do you define financial success? And get them to clear, like actually verbalize how they define that. And then when you ask why a couple times, you get down to the deeper root, like, okay, this is what it's all about. Because if you don't get clarity on that, you're going to be focused on the wrong metrics.
Yeah. It's funny, you know, because I remember 10 years ago, I was on the north coast of Colombia, and I was, had jobs up until that point. I hadn't been an entrepreneur. And I remember I was sitting on the beach there and I was like, what do I really want? Like, what do I actually want in the next 10 years? And I remember saying to myself, I want to have the freedom to do whatever I want, wherever I want, however I want. And more specifically, to have a location independent business and a location independent life and lifestyle, which basically meant that I couldn't have a job anymore. Like that result meant going to an office. I got to focus on online business creation and online business making. And I remember saying at the time, all I want to do is just make $100,000 a year and just be happy to just travel around and do whatever, as long as I don't have to be anywhere. And then I wrote a little ebook and I put it out and it bombed. It didn't do particularly well, but that set the ball in motion to get momentum and keep moving forward. And then a couple of years later, I got a mentor and I created an online business. And now I have two health and wellness businesses that have both done seven figures plus. And, you know, for the last 10 years, pretty much, or probably 9 years, I've been literally living all over the world, running my business from wherever, however, with whoever. It's, you know, all virtual. And I actually have created that lifestyle for myself. The point I'm just trying to make is not to say, wow, isn't that amazing? The point is that, to speak to your point, you got to have a plan, a destination. Like, I asked myself the question that you just put forward, if money wasn't an issue, what would you do? The answer for me then was to be able to do whatever I want in far-flung countries around the world. When you ask the question, you know, invite people to say, how do you define financial success? For me, it was like $100,000 and traveling around the world. Now, I've generated millions of dollars since then, but that was the plan then, and that got me heading in the right direction. So exactly. Is that an example of kind of what you're encouraging people
yeah,
to
that,
do?
Yeah, that's an example, but I would even ask why from there. It's like, okay, why is that important? And you're super clear. It's the freedom.
Yeah.
Okay. Freedom to do what? So that you can do. And then, and it's just like, yeah, you're not going to get like, it's not like something super ultra clear, but it's like that then ultimately determines what we do. Because then I'll go back. It's like, if that's what you wanted to do, should you max out a 401k? The answer is no.
Yeah.
And that's like heresy. It's like, why would you? Well, a 401k does not show up powerfully today, because I'm hearing that you want to travel not when you're 65, but you want to travel now.
Yeah.
So are there more efficient ways? So it's like, we need to be willing to think non-traditionally, but we need a framework in how we make those decisions. And so often, and you see this in the health space. So often people just get in line and they don't ask why, and they don't question what they're being told.
Right. So once our listener or our viewer has gone through this process and they've got very clear, and let's say they've defined financial success and they've defined, you know, if money wasn't an issue, what would you do? What's the next step from there? Like, now how do they implement that, or what other strategy should they do first?
The next step after you get clarity is to audit your time and your money and your abilities. And so what that looks like is, number one, audit like where you're at. Are you happy? What are you good at? Get super self-aware on what's going on. From the money perspective, we want to look at three things. We want to look at cash flow. Everything in our life is built around cash flow. Like, everything that we go talk about going forward needs to be based around cash flow. And so the question is, can you increase money coming in? Once you have cash flow, your money can either go two places. It's either gone, spent on taxes, lifestyle, kids' education, whatever, or it's saved for future consumption. So that's real simple. It's like, can we increase it, or can we keep more of it? Then the second thing is looking at assets. And an asset is anything of value, and essentially, like, Robert Kiyosaki says, an asset is anything that puts money in your pocket. The traditional aspect of thinking of an asset is anything of value. So then the next question is audit that and say, are these assets, 401k, real estate, SEP IRA, life insurance, annuities, are these showing up in my life that I currently have, are they best helping me with my desired result? And sometimes the answer is yes. Most of the time it's no. And then the third thing is looking at debt. There's people listening to this that are drowning in debt. And so it's like, okay, instead of just doing the shotgun approach, what if there was a better way to create a strategy and to knock off toxic debt, potentially have the humility to say some debt is not toxic, it may be good, because that by having that, it's helping me better live my mission. And so it's like, you got to audit yourself, your time, but you got to audit your cash flow, assets, and debts, and get super clear and make sure that we're being efficient. And then the next step is the strategy. So a lot of people like to focus solely, like they go, you know what you need? They go right to the strategy. They don't get clarity on what is really important to you, and they don't do an audit of what's actually going on. They're trying to diagnose you on the first, you know, first 5 minutes. We see that all the time. And we got to be really clear that we have to get clarity on you. We got to see where you're at. But when I know someone and what's important to them and I know where they're at, then you can then be in a position to give financial advice and actually give people the best foundation to move forward.
Hi there, this is James Swanick, and you're listening to the Swanick Podcast.
So would you then refrain from giving financial advice, generally speaking, until someone actually has got the clarity on their financial success, done the audit on their cash flow, assets, and debt?
Yes. I would say the two things that I would say after that, you want to be consistent. Consistency is everything. So most people have a savings problem. 98% of people that come through our world, they're not financially in balance as it relates to cash flow. That means they're consuming too much. So something needs to change. And then a lot of people are not thinking about their money in form of use. Your greatest financial need is using money. Why aren't we being taught strategies on how to best use your money? And so my book that put me on the map is actually on a special type of strategy on how to overfund life insurance and use it kind of like a bank to save your money, invest it in things that you care about, and get dollars to do more than one job. That's not for everybody. If you're an entrepreneur listening to this, you're an investor, it may be for you. For most of America, it's not for. So when I first got started, I started on the strategy and be like, hey, you could do this. And I was right, principle-wise, but the strategy wasn't right for everybody. And so yes, you're right. It's the strategy comes next. But if you don't have clarity on those two things, you got to be really careful who you're taking advice from.
On this particular conversation that you and I are having, are you able to give generic strategic advice, or are you able to break it down into if you're this, then this is the strategy. If you're this, then this would be the strategy.
Yep. So I'll break it down into three types of people that we see. The first type of person is the person that's drowning in credit card debt. They're not able to save a lot of money. And so the question is, okay, it's very, very clear that it's like, okay, you got toxic debt. Mm-hmm. And so our goal is to free up that debt. And we do that with the cash flow scorecard, or the debt scorecard strategy. And the debt scorecard strategy is essentially taking your balance and dividing it by your minimum payment. Mm-hmm. And you're going to get a range of numbers. You're going to get as low as 20 or so to as high as like 150.
Yep.
The lower the number, the more toxic that debt is. That means there's a lot of cash flow that's getting drained into that debt. The higher the number is, the less cash flow that's taking. So if you're like 95% of people in America right now, we got to figure out a strategy on how to specifically knock off those bad debts. And then you got to promise me, when we free up that cash flow, it's either going to go to you or to continue to knock off bad debt. But the eventual goal is to take that cash flow and to put it somewhere.
Yeah.
So If you can't save more than $10,000 a year, my mind's going to go all to how do we make more money? Because again, it's like, we could max out a Roth IRA. You could start a overfunded life insurance policy. But at the end of the day, man, if I'm being honest, like, we got to ask the question, how can we make more money? And how do we position something where we can save a lot more than $10,000? Because we need to feed the beast. The volume of savings is important. Then if you can save more than $10,000, then there's two types of people. There's the people that want control. There's the entrepreneur, the investor that's like, I want to control capital because I can use that capital to biohack my body, to invest in business, marketing. So control is going to be important. So what they'll want to do is they'll want to save their money into something like what I write about in my book, The And Asset, which is essentially a special type of contract that allows your money to grow, but you can also use it all contractually guaranteed and tax-free. So you can invest in yourself, but you also get the consistency of growth. If you're not an entrepreneur, if you just were like, hey, I want a system where I can put my money somewhere. It's fine if there's fees associated, or it's fine if it's locked up. I just want it to grow. Then you want to look at like a low cost index that you can like, you know, put towards, and like over time, the growth is going to be pretty solid. You just want to make sure that you minimize fees, and you want to look at taxes and see if you can minimize the tax burden in the future. And so the two types of people that we really work with is we just identify like what's the outcome. And if you seek more control, let's go the And Asset route. And if you don't, then let's go maybe the typical like low cost growth route. And then the final part is like a lot of people don't have an end goal. The goal of climbing a mountain is to get down safely. A lot of people are going up the mountain and not thinking about coming down. And so that's a whole, if you're nearing retirement and you have assets, it's a honestly like you got to work with somebody that understands how to best take your assets and create that, again, going back to cash flow, create that stable, certain cash flow coming down the mountain. So yeah. Those are like, I know I said three, those are four types of people. There's people that need to make more money and knock off debt. There's people that save money that need to decide which route they want to go. And there's people that are nearing that and want to translate their assets into cash flow. And they need to figure out the right strategies on how to do that.
Yeah. I remember someone said once a number of years ago, just in relation to the how to make more money. And it was instead of saying, I can't afford that, you ask yourself the question, how can I afford that? And so when there's been things that I've been entertaining purchasing, I guess, or investing in, or even better, like investing in something that's going to pay off down the road or give me an ROI, I flip it around from, you know, instinctively I might feel, oh man, I can't afford that. And then I'm like, oh, hang on, how can I afford that? And just that simple exercise gets me into a world of possibility about how to create more money, more income. Any other little mental hacks or little things there to get people in like looking at situations of like opportunities versus like, you know, seeing obstacles in the way?
I ask myself that almost every day. That's one of my favorite questions, is to ask the how, because scarcity goes into the I can't, and you actually believe that. And when you say, how can I, it puts you into a different mindset, and it just, there's endless opportunities. And that goes back to if I was giving someone investment advice on where to put their $2,000 a year in, I'm actually not best serving them, because we need to ask the question, how do we triple that? How do we 10X that? And if you don't think that's possible, that's a limiting belief. You got to get your mindset focused first before we go into strategy. And that's why I started so much on mindset. If you talk to a lot of financial people, they're going to go right into the principle, compound interest. It's like, if your mindset's not right, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And the thing is as well, the mindset is not sexy for people. It's like, forget the mindset. Give me the nitty gritty. You know.
Yeah.
But you're right. It is. It's like the most important thing. And like you said before, like in order to know where you're going, you got to know where you are. So when you suggest doing the audit again, that's not sexy, because now you've actually got to look at stuff that you've been avoiding looking at for a long time. And I know, speaking for myself, some years ago now, I didn't want to do the audit because I was afraid what I was going to see. It was just easier for me to keep sort of like blocking it out, not looking at it. And then it was almost like, okay, let's do the audit. Let's have a look at the, it was like painful, but only then it's like, you know, if you're going to fly to Brisbane, Australia, where I am now, well, you got to know where you are to figure out how to get there.
And that's why we're so bullish on this idea of X-ray audits. It's because there's growth in seeing where you're at. And knowing that and seeing the problem, because how in the world are you going to find solutions if you can't identify what the real issue is?
We're talking to Caleb Williams, who's the founder and CEO of Better Wealth. And Caleb's book is The And Asset. Just before we move on, do you want to just tell our listeners and viewers where they can grab that book, Caleb?
Yeah, they can go to betterwealth.com and get themselves a copy. And I offered ahead of time, if we make our own domain, I would gladly even pay the shipping. And so, but Better Wealth is the company. And if we find a domain that's betterwealth.com/something, you name it, I'll give your listeners a totally free copy.
I want to just switch the conversation slightly. So a couple things that are just coming up. I'm a dual citizen. I live in America, and I'm an American citizen and I'm an Australian citizen. Born and raised in Australia, became a US citizen about 7 years ago. And one of the things that I learned when I went to America was how they reward you in America for carrying debt. You know, you build credit history by having credit cards and responsibly paying it off. In Australia, they punish you for having credit cards and for showing a history of responsible debt. They don't really want you to have credit cards at all. So I'm curious, like, based on your experience, what do you think is the better system? Because like you said before, many Americans are crippled with debt.
Yeah.
Even though they get rewarded with a high credit score, you know, and that increases borrowing capacity if they can demonstrate over a number of years that they've carry debt responsibly. Yet in Australia, it seems we're like, no, we don't want you to take on debt.
So in Australia, if you pay off your balance, do you get dinged?
Do you get like penalized? Like
if you pay off
a home loan like early, then yeah, there are fees associated with that. I don't think that's any different to the US though.
Okay.
In terms of credit cards, I'm not sure okay. to be honest.
Yeah. I think the credit, by the way, the credit score, good luck trying to figure that out. It's like there's a lot of people that make courses and write books, and it's like it doesn't make any sense. It really doesn't. So it's a weird system. I think the basic problem is here's what I think about debt. Debt is not good or bad. It's just an instrument. And so good debt helps you put more money back in your pocket. Bad debt takes more money out of your pocket because it exists.
Hi there, this is James Swanick, and you're listening to the Swanick Podcast.
Okay. Yeah, that's right.
So I like what I find is I sat down with one of my friends the other day, and he's like, yeah, when I got my first credit card, I thought they were giving me free money. And I'm like, are you serious? And he's like, yeah. And so I just was like, this is amazing. And then it took him like 5 years. So that's a problem. It's a problem if someone over 18 doesn't know how to a freaking credit card works. Like that's an issue. And so, yeah, I think a lot of the problems that we're getting ourselves into, if you look at the numbers, is students taking on massive debt, really not having clarity, going back to the clarity piece on what they want. And then also supplementing with credit cards, you look at the interest, like there's no way in the world, like that's a good idea. When you look at the interest that you're
20% plus, isn't it? Interest,
right. Yeah. I mean, I've sat down with someone that was 32 when you looked at all the points and fees. And so with that, you have people out there that go, their one goal in life is for you to be debt-free. And my message is debt. You could be debt-free and broke. Like my message is so much bigger than it's like, what do you want and go make it happen. And so like I write in my book, a mortgage, if you can right now in the US, you can get a mortgage for under 4%. And so this is how I think a bank we'll let you live in a house. And if you can earn more than 4% with your resources, i.e. money, that's a good debt. It's a good note to have. Yes, you're paying a little bit of interest, but that's allowing you to invest in business, investments, and other things. A credit card, there's no way in the world you can justify, you know, earning more than 12% or 20% consistently. And you always have your unicorns that say, like, I started the business on a credit card, and you go, you kind of cringe, but you're like, they had a point there. So I think it's more a financial education issue. And I don't think many people are like, I think they just do debt because they don't know any different. And our saving rate as a country is super small. So I think it's more of a consumption problem. I don't think a lot of people are doing debt because it's like, I'm going to get rewarded to do this. I just think that's just the way that they do it. And so it's like, yeah, I'm going to go on vacation and I'm going to finance it. Whereas wealthy people would never pay a ton of interest to do a liability-based activity.
Yeah, that's right. Good debt, bad debt. There's a big difference there. Like if you're going into debt, there's something's going to give you a return on that investment. Like then that's good debt. If you're, you know, using debt to buy a car that you don't need or whatever, exactly. Plasma TV, I don't know. They probably don't.
That's the thing is people are using debt to buy things that they can't afford. Even I said a mortgage is a good debt. It's not if you're buying a house that you wouldn't have bought otherwise. So it's like, It's not the debt issue. It's the lack of education and people are buying things that they shouldn't have because of debt.
Warren Buffett, I think, said, if you buy things that you don't need, pretty soon you have to sell things you need.
That's a good quote.
Yeah. Okay. Any other final bit of advice then for people in terms of managing their wealth, creating wealth creation? I know we've got clarity on how you define your financial success. Doing an audit on your cash flow, on your assets, and on your debt. And only then do you move into strategy.
Yeah.
Anything else that's out of those parameters, or is that the nitty gritty?
It's really take responsibility and make decisions based on you being the most important asset in your life. And I don't want that to sound woo-woo-y, but it's like, if we get really clear on what's important, you have your time, you have your God-given abilities, and you have resources. Those are the three variables that can help you win and live the life of your dreams. So yes, it's clarity, audit those things, and then create a strategy around it where you can use that money as a resource to be able to dominate and live more powerfully and take control of those in your life.
Just to add on those great points, Caleb, just to quote Warren Buffett again, they interviewed him on CNN, I think when the financial crisis was hitting back in 2008, 2009. And they asked him, you know, what's the best investment? Is it property? Is it indexes? Is it the mutual funds? Like what is it? And he said, the best investment is always in yourself. And by that, I took him to mean, you know, invest in knowledge, invest in education, invest in coaching, put stuff in your brain, become aware of things, because investing in yourself will always give you the best rate of return. Do you share those sentiments?
Yep, 100%.
Yeah. And then just to borrow a quote from Tony Robbins as well, Tony Robbins says it's never a lack of resources, it's always a lack of resourcefulness.
Yeah.
Or another way of saying is like, I don't have the resources, then you just do a little flip and you go, well, let me be resourceful.
Yeah.
How do I create the resources? So,
right. Yeah, I love that. And it goes back to the mindset. I can't afford it versus how can I? It's the same concept of how you think.
Yeah. Caleb Williams, thank you so much for your time. I so appreciate that. Make sure you head over to betterwealth.com and you can grab a copy of Caleb's book over there as well, which is The And Asset. Caleb, thanks so much for joining us and guiding us with your expertise today.
James, it was a pleasure. I appreciate you and what you're doing.